Morgan Startup Series.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the Morgans Startup Series, I'm joined by Catherine McConnell, co-founder and CEO of Bright. Catherine, thanks so much for being part of this series.
Oh, thank you, Chris, for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Catherine, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how Bright came about?
Okay, so I had about 20 years experience since I've finished university. So I did an arts and commerce degree, then got into finance. So primarily 14 years at Macquarie Bank, a few years in government. So whilst I was in finance, I had experience working in energy leasing, where I specifically set up a product set for commercial solar finance and consumer solar finance. And it was during that time that I identified that there was an opportunity in the market to provide a payment plan that was going to be fast, that was going to be easy, and if you could do this at the point of sale, that there'd be huge potential uptake from businesses in Australia. Not to mention that you were going to make it really easy for Australian households to buy things like home energy and home improvements. So it was about close to 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, that I actually left my job at Macquarie Bank, and I made that potentially crazy decision to try and start up my own lending business. So I was the sole founder without a tech background. So it took about a year to build the business, and about 2.5 years later, here I am.
Wow. Catherine, you mentioned that sort of decade plus in investment banking. I mean, and you mentioned that word crazy. I mean, just talk me through the actual moment you sort of resigned and went, right, I'm doing this. And I suppose the decision-making process prior to that.
That I think was probably the only crazy thing I've done in my life. I have been quite conservative with this, happy to progress within my career at a great company. I guess it was just a whole combination of, two different things. It was things that were happening to me personally with our family at home, and then also things that I was seeing through my professional career perspective. So on the personal side, it was in 2013 our family got some solar. It was in about 2015 that we got some more solar, and we're actually one of the first families in Australia to get a battery. It was then about a year later we got a few more batteries. So we were what you'd call early adopters. And what our family experienced was this, amazing, the pressure of, household affordability with rising energy prices was removed. And so we had this increased, household income. And what we got was a glimpse into the future of what I think is going to happen with batteries and households taking up solar as really an everyday purchase. It's going to become a lot more normal. So we had this insight, and I, was really excited by this huge opportunity that was going to, lie ahead. And then on the professional side, I had a deep experience in building products in the energy finance sector. I had, really strong relationships with solar installers across the country, with energy retailers, and I was hearing that the products that were on the market, weren't best positioned to solve their particular problems that they were facing at the point of sale. So I felt that I was in a unique position to be able to use my experience, both professionally and also my personal insights of where I thought there was going to be a huge opportunity in the market. I guess that was the moment of crazy that I thought that I could set up a lending business, so I could, effectively be a lending company. And that moment, I guess it took a few months, and it just got to a point where it was all I could think about it. I just thought that something had to be done. The only way it could be done, was outside of a big company. You had to move very quick. You had to create this tech platform very quickly. And I just didn't feel that there was a way to be able to capture that inside of a large organisation.
Catherine, that's a fantastic answer. And you mentioned about the fact that on a personal level that you were perhaps early adopters in solar. I mean, there's always a risk being early that firstly you're too early, or secondly it doesn't transition. I suppose where are we in the cycle of adopting this the new way of creating energy?
Okay, so there's two sides. You've got you know, solar, so you can offset your own consumption during the day. And then you've got the next stage, which is, you know, households adopting batteries. So that's where, you know, when the sun goes down, they're able to, you know, store that energy that they've captured during the day and offset the energy they'd normally draw off the grid in the evening. So where are we at? Australia in the world has one of the highest adoption rates of household solar. So it's about 23.2%, so over one in five homes in Australia have solar in their roof. So when you compare it with a country like America, it's under 2% of American households have solar. So from that perspective, you know, we are progressed. I think it's quite normalised. It's getting more normalised that solar is an alternative, an alternative way that you can generate your own energy instead of just drawing it off the grid and, you know, paying an energy retailer. So I think that's getting more normalised. But there's a huge opportunity going forward in solar because a lot of the systems that people have are very small systems. So they're around 2 kilowatts. They'll put in when the previous solar, we had some government incentives that were really supporting the uptake in, you know, between 2011 and 2012. So people put in these smaller systems. So everyone that has solar, there's this huge opportunity for all of those families to actually get more solar on their roof, to get larger systems, and they're all candidates for batteries. So Australia also has one of the highest electricity tariffs in the world. So if you compare the Australian tariff, if you look at it, an average tariff in about US dollars, so the Australian average tariff would be around 19 cents in US dollars, and the average US family would pay an equivalent tariff of around 13 cents. Per kilowatt hour. So we have really high electricity prices, and over the past year we've seen those increase, and it's been a huge burden, a huge stress on Australian families. So what they've been looking at is, you know, what are their options in how they can reduce, you know, this really high cost and increasing cost in their household budget. So solar is a perfect solution for families. It enables them to, you know, if they can use a product like Bright, we enable them to, you know, buy what they need today. So buy that solar that they need today, pay it off over time. Often they get to align, you know, those future energy savings, you know, with their payment plan. So pay it off in, you know, 3-5 years, and then the next 15 years they get to generate and, you know, have 100% of that free energy that their solar is generating, you know, and 100% of those cost savings. Batteries, the cost of batteries is still a little bit high. You think of these energy savings products in terms of payback. So how long is the energy saving, you know, going to take to pay back the cost of the goods? But the cost of solar has halved in the last few years, and I really see that batteries is going to do that over the next few years. So the opportunity for batteries, I think, is probably, you know, it's definitely increasing and, you know, tripling and, you know, from you know, each year. But 2020 is going to be a huge year for batteries, I think.
And you're very well positioned to be in that area. And again, the affordability is the question, I suppose, from a general public point of view of how much these things cost and the payback period, as you mentioned. If you can smooth that gap to say, look, you know, by the time you've paid off the cost over, you know, periodic payments, etc., then you get that upside for 15 years you mentioned. It's just an absolute sweet spot in my view. Can you talk about maybe the dollar values? I mean, we're talking $10,000 or $15,000. Is that kind of the average at the moment in solar and batteries? You said they'll probably halve. Is it still going to be a significant amount of money to purchase up front?
Yeah, so solar, you know, systems are generally around, you know, if you're looking at a 5 kilowatt system, you can generally get something for around $5,000 to $7,000 at this stage. So, and payback range depending on where you live, because there are some government incentives still in the form of these STCs, and so upfront, they can give you up to about a 30% discount on the price of the solar. So depending on where you live, you can get more STCs, or you might get a little bit less in other states. So, you know, the price of the solar, generally you can look at the payback on solar being about 3 to 5 years, you know, depending on where you live and, you know, what your tariffs are. So it's 3 to 5 years payback And solar has about 20 to 25 years manufacturer's warranty on the solar panels. Mm. You know, you can see why there
is a great return. Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, the batteries, you know, around, you can get very small small kilowatt batteries for a few thousand dollars, but generally batteries are around $10,000 to around, you know, $13,000, $14,000. So they are a little bit higher in price than the solar. And you may seek, you know, multiple batteries depending on the size. So the payback there is a little bit longer with how you'd calculate those energy savings offsetting the cost of the goods.
And since you launched Bright 3 years ago, can you give some metrics around the number of people that have inquired or perhaps use your product and the feedback that you've got from your customers?
So the you know, we've had, you know, about 5,000 customers apply to us for finance applications, and that's in a period of 15 months. You know, average price is around, you know, $10,000 of the goods that we're financing. So I won't disclose the value of the loan book, but you know, you can kind of see there that, you know, it's over 50 million of you know, of applications we've received in 15 months. And just mindful that, you know, we built the business, we built our whole tech platform. So we built apps for the consumer, for the businesses, you know, our whole platform for an admin portal for businesses. And so it was quite an extensive build that we did in 10 months. And then we went live. So, you know, going live, you know, in 10 months was a huge achievement for the business. And just in that short time, being able to get the trust of the businesses and the trust of, you know, consumers to have had, you know, that many applications submitted. And, you know, we're working with, you know, hundreds of businesses around the country of all different sizes. You know, and they have trust in us to bring their customers to us, and, you know, to offer our finance to their customers. So it's a huge, you know, it's a huge achievement and something, you know, definitely really proud of the business and the team.
It certainly is a huge achievement, and I'm certainly not surprised at the certain levels of demand, and I think there's a huge amount of opportunity ahead. You mentioned that you didn't sort of go live straight away. There must have been some you know, a fair bit of costs involved in the business, and you know, I've read about a funding round that happened. Can you talk me through the process of how that perhaps came about and why that came about?
Okay, we've had two funding rounds since we launched. Initially, the business was funded by myself and my husband. So for the first, up until the point we basically went live, I was you know, using personal funds to build the platform and pay staff. The first round we did was $3.5 million from about 30 or so high net wealth investors and, you know, family and friends. So we did that one, and that really helped us lay the platform for, you know, for going live, starting to get some money just to seed our initial loan book. And then it was, that was in, you know, around July to September 2016, we did that seed round. And then it was that year we actually got in contact with Grok. So that was with Jeremy Kwong-Law and Mike Cannon-Brooks. So his investment vehicle is called Grok. So we're able to get in contact with them and start working with them. And it was late 2016, you know, early 2017 when they gave, you know, their first funding to us to support Bright with our loan book. So we raised debt and we raised equity. So they first came to us to support us with debt for our loan book. We'd set up a securitisation warehouse, so they came in and purchased notes in that facility. And then later that year, it was around August 2017, where they came in and we raised our Series A of $4 million. So Mike was, you know, great to be able to come on the register, and he participated in $3 million of that raise, and then $1 million went to the other existing shareholders. We're getting close with the next capital raise, so we'll have some exciting news over the next few months regarding that. But it is a really complex business model. How when we are the lender, we haven't just built the tech platform; we actually manage our own loan book. So we have raised lots of debt from many parties. And this year, we're also really excited to be able to soon announce some new funding partners that we'll be working with on the debt.
Some absolutely fantastic funding partners there. I mean, that's as you mentioned, there's two sides to that equation, not just the equity in the business, but certainly on the debt funding side. But you're setting yourself up, in my opinion, to scale and to leverage and to get that loan book and help those people achieve what they want to achieve and help that macro trend that's coming through. Fast forward a couple of years, I mean, are you a goal setter in the sense of 3 months ahead, 6 months ahead, or have you got a grand plan in 5 years where you see yourself?
Yeah, no, I really see that there's a huge opportunity in the market that we're perfectly positioned to capture. I see us having a $1 billion loan book within 3 years. And growing strongly after that. So we've definitely got a big plan, but it's certainly achievable. And you know, we've got clearly articulated steps within the business and strategies for how we're going to achieve that. And with the growth that we've seen, you know, over the last 12 to 15 months, we're definitely on track.
Catherine, two more questions. One, a lot of people in startup world talk about the ability to be global from day one. Is your focus to get the domestic market right, or can you be a global business? And the second question, which will be the last question, is your journey along the way as a startup founder, coming from a corporate background. I mean, what advice and tips can you share to aspiring entrepreneurs, or perhaps even rewind 3 years where you're in a position where you see an opportunity in a market and you think, oh, I've got to grab this.
Yeah, okay. So global from day one, I think a lot of the SaaS businesses, it's going to be easier for them. I think for a lending business, if you actually are the lender and own the loan book, I think it's a lot harder to navigate. So there's, a lot of regulation that you have to, you have to work through. So Bright will seek to first, conquer Australia and, have a great presence here with a fantastic product that reduces all the friction at the point of sale for both the businesses and consumers. But we definitely we're definitely aware of different trends outside of Australia. What's really interesting with the market that we're focusing on is that Australia, with its unique position with, high electricity tariffs, with very low costs of solar and being one of the highest early adopters of solar in the world, we're seen as a bit of a testing ground by lots of different manufacturers and other parties for different business models that they're looking at rolling out in Australia. And it's a testing ground for, how they then plan to approach other parts of the world. So I think we are in this, really unique position now to work with different different partners to develop the Australian opportunity. It would be something that we'd consider, a vendor-led expansion to go offshore once we've nailed Australia. And then just the second part of the question, advice, journey, and, any tips for aspiring entrepreneurs. For me, it is just around confidence. I think at the start it might have been a little bit of naivety that I could build the business and get this loan book, because it's such a complex task that you have to do to set up a company like this. So it was a little bit of naivety, but I'm so thankful now that I had that I felt that the conviction I had was going to be stronger than any obstacles that could be put in my way. So I think if you have that kind of conviction, that's fantastic. I think that's definitely the first step that you need, to be a little bit crazy to think that you can create something, build something, and that you can withstand any of the obstacles and pressures. You definitely need that. I think you need a really supportive family or friends, because there are definitely times where it gets really tough and it can be relentless day in, day out. You often just think of, what you want to build this business and that's great, but you never really contemplate and think through that, if it's successful, it's not going to end. It's your baby. It's something that, is going to be with you forever, and it's just going to take a lot of ongoing energy. So, for me, I've got my husband and I've got my two boys, and, it's been a huge support to have their support. So you definitely need that type of support to get you through.
That's a fabulous. Have you got any more? Because it's absolute gold.
I think, you know, definitely, you know, you need a little bit of craziness, but you do need to think through. You do need to think through, you know, not just the first month, you know, but the next year, and, you know, how things can unfold, you know, within the business. So, you know, have the vision, but also have a really worked out plan of how you're going to execute.
Catherine, it's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you for sharing those amazing insights into your learnings over the last 3 years. And it is a journey that you've started, that you're building up for scale. And I think, yeah, I said that before, there's huge opportunity ahead, and I really look forward to watching the progress of Bright and your personal progress. And I thank you so much for being part of this series. And and hopefully we can catch up at a later date.
Oh, thanks so much, Chris. It was a real pleasure to be on the podcast. So thank you.